So as you know, this summer we've been going over some spiritual practices, some basics of connecting with God. And I get to talk about prayer today. And the truth is we could listen to 100 sermons on prayer and not cover all that there is to talk about. So we're just going to focus a little bit on these words from Jesus in Luke chapter 11. The heading of that section in many of our Bibles says, Jesus' teaching on prayer. But it's not just Jesus' teaching. In that first verse, we're told that Jesus was praying. And then, yes, he does go on to teach about prayer, but as this passage starts, Jesus is praying himself and talking to his Father. And one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So verse 2, Jesus begins with a simple prayer, much simpler than the long and complicated prayers that the sort of current religious leaders liked to offer, prayers that went on and on and on. Maybe that hasn't changed. The religious leaders praying for very long times. But Jesus gave them a very simple prayer. And this one in Luke is even shorter and even simpler than the one that we have in Matthew chapter 6, which is the closest to what we call the Lord's Prayer and repeat almost every Sunday. This one is very, very simple. And I want us to see how the prayer starts. It's addressed to Father. I'm not sure how you feel about your relationship with your earthly father, but when Jesus calls God Father, it suggests access, intimacy, and most of all, love. While at the same time, acknowledging God's authority. Father. But then in verse 5, Jesus tells a story that's kind of completely different. This one's about a friend. So just imagine you go to your friend's house at midnight and you're banging on the door saying, please, I have unexpected guests and I don't have any bread. Give me the bread, please. And the friend says, go away, we were asleep, leave us alone. Verse 8, it says, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Verse 11, Jesus comes back to loving fathers. If your son asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? If your son asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? And verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So in Jesus' teaching on prayer here, he talks about fathers and friends because the best and maybe only way to understand prayer is through relationships. Our closest earthly relationships are our best prayer teachers, even with the limits of those relationships. You know, whatever love we experience among our family and our friends, God's love is more. There's a limit, but they're a good starting place. So we're gonna look at some common relationship scenarios to see what we can learn about prayer. First, I heard a story, a woman's daughter was engaged and they were starting to plan the wedding and mother of the bride, was starting to get the impression that her daughter wanted the money for the wedding, but not really all of her involvement in the planning and the preparations for the wedding. But before mom could get too hurt or annoyed at this situation, she was convicted that she had had the same attitude towards God. And she realized that sometimes she wanted God's blessings, God's help with the list or whatever, but not necessarily the relationship. Prayer is so much more than a never-ending list of wants. Prayer is part of an ongoing and committed relationship. It's not just a tool we pull out when we need something. Yes, we make requests of God. We need him, and it is good that we do ask him for what we need and what others need. But God won't be manipulated. The relationship comes first. The relationship comes first. Another scenario. Think of a toddler who covers their eyes and thinks that no one can see them. How often do we try to hide parts of ourselves from God? And how silly that is when we think about it, but we do try to keep secrets sometime. Do secrets hinder our earthly relationships? Yeah, of course. We can kind of tell when people are not opening up with us, when our close family and friends are not telling us what's really going on. I want to encourage you to read the different Psalms. You will find every human emotion and just about every human experience turned into prayer. Yes, that includes the joy and thanksgiving things that we maybe expect to find, but you'll also find very honest lament, deep sorrow, and anger, even extreme anger, prayed in some detail. Not only can God handle all of that, all of our honest prayers, but here we have these prayers preserved in our holy scriptures as examples to us of how to pray. So are you feeling disappointed or angry with God? Talk to him about it. Keep that communication open. He can handle it. He wants to talk with you. If you feel that you have lost your first love of the Lord, it may be that there are some conversations that you need to have, that you are maybe feeling like maybe you're not supposed to have. Go ahead and talk with God about whatever. Be honest. No secrets. Another relationship scenario. I think we probably all at one point have had a relationship with someone in our lives, whether it be a coworker or a friend or somebody, where the relationship is pretty one-sided. Maybe one person does all the talking or all the taking. And it doesn't make for a very good relationship, does it? Good friendships have some give and take, speaking and listening. But how many of us lay on God all our needs, but then when it's time to pause a moment and listen for his response, we're like busy and distracted again. Sometimes our conversation with God is pretty one-sided, myself included. Do we believe that God has something to say to us and that he's capable of communicating it to us in a way that we can understand? Can we begin to listen? I know for myself, this one's tough because I get, you know, like monkey brain when I try to quiet my mind and the thoughts are going in all the different directions. But that's all the more reason to practice quiet listening. We're not gonna get it the first time. And there will always be distractions. Distractions around us, noises, all kinds of things, people needing our attention, and then, of course, the internal distractions, too, our worries, our distracted thoughts. But we gently return to our desire to listen to God. All that stuff is very normal. And God may speak to us in many, many ways. It may be through scripture. It may be through a thought that comes when we quiet ourselves a little bit. It may be through someone else, something that God speaks through someone else. But we got to slow down and start listening. Our last relationship scenario that I want to look at today, this is a story from Marjorie Thompson. She tells a story. I'm actually not sure if this is true, but it's a neat story. A pastor returned from a retreat, and he had had, this retreat was at a monastery, and he came home and said to his adult son, "I don't know how those monks just sit there for hours, just like looking straight ahead." And his son had just become a father. And he said, "I don't know, Dad, I can't stop looking at her," his baby girl. "I just can't stop looking at her." And that reminds me of other relationships where words are not needed or possible. I think of the couple or the close friends who maybe have run out of new things to talk about, but they can sit together and enjoy each other's company. I think of the relationship with a spouse or a parent who has dementia, and maybe communication can't happen the way it once did, but it's that time together is still valuable, right? It's still good just to spend time together. So sometimes we need to be reminded that yes, prayer is talking to God and listening to God, but it can and does go beyond words. Fundamentally, prayer is about spending time together. And can we believe that God enjoys this time with us? Like that new father who can't take his eyes off his infant daughter, even though she can't articulate something in his language yet, but he's just so thrilled to be with her. It's about relationship. There are many prayer methods and techniques, and if any of them help you to focus or minimize distraction, go for it. I like to try new things, but all the technique in the world can't substitute for a desire to be with God. In the Reformed tradition, they ask, what is the chief end of human beings? And this is part of their catechism that they learn as they're coming up in the faith. And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. So why not start now? Heaven is more than anything about being in God's presence with no barriers and no limitations of that this earthly life provides. Why not start to connect with God now, to enjoy his presence, to seek him every day. And finally, let me close with an encouragement. A life of prayer can be hard. I feel like we need to remind ourselves that there are days we don't feel like praying, days when we'd rather not deal with a complicated relationship. We'd rather just, you know, do our to-do list. There are days when we pray and it feels like God can't hear and nothing is happening, and seasons in which it's just really hard for us to find the time or the focus. Don't give up. Don't give up even when prayer gets hard. I want to close with verse 9 in the New Living Translation, which really catches the ongoing nature of the prayer life. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Let's keep on praying. God is our Heavenly Father, and he's made us his friends. So share your heart with God, slow down and listen. And just be in God's presence and let him love you. Amen.